from Yogamaya, the daughter of Devaki, that the child who will kill him has already been born somewhere else. Having heard that the eighth pregnancy of Devaki could not bring forth a female child, and having understood your friendship with Vasudev, Kamsa, upon hearing that the purificatory process has been performed by me, the priest of the Yadu dynasty, may certainly consider all these points and suspect that Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Then he might take steps to kill Krishna. That would be a catastrophe. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kamsa knew very well that Yogamaya was, after all, the maidservant of Krishna and Vishnu. And although Yogamaya had appeared as the daughter of Devaki, she might have been forbidden to disclose this fact. Actually, this was what had happened. Gargamuni argued very soberly that his taking part in performing the reformatory process for Krishna would give rise to many doubts, so that Kamsa may take very severe steps to kill the child. Text 10. Then Nanda Maharaj invites him to perform the ceremony in secret in the cowshed. And then they went. Shigarga Uvacha. I am he Rohini Putro Ramayan Surido Gunai Akyasyate Rama Iti Baladikyad Balam Vidu Yadunam Apritag Bhavat Sankarshanam Ushantyapi. Gargamuni said, this child, the son of Rohini, will give all happiness to his relatives and friends by his transcendental qualities. Therefore, he will be known as Rama. Mm-hmm. And because he will manifest extraordinary bodily strength, he will also be known as Bala. Mm-hmm. Moreover, because he unites two families, Vasudev's family and the family of Nanda Maharaj, he will be known as Sankarshan. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Baladev was actually the son of Devaki, but he was transferred from Devaki's womb to that of Rohini. This fact was not disclosed. You know, it's like Maharaj was saying, you get everything in Krishna Leela. I mean, the mysteries in Krishna Leela are so unfathomable that, you know, no detective could figure out what's actually happening. You know, only a great acharya can do that. According to a statement in the Harivamsa, Pratyuvacha tato rama sarvam stam abhitas titan Yadave svapi sarveshu bhavato mama valabha. Gargamuni did disclose to Nanda Maharaj that Balaram would be known as Shankarshan because of uniting two families, the Yadu Vangsha and the Vangsha of Nanda Maharaj, one of which was known as Kshatriya and the other as Vaishya. See, Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj had the same father. But Vasudev was born of a Kshatriya wife, and Nanda was born as a Vaishya wife. But he took up the work of a Vaishya and was known as a Vaishya. And therefore, in ordinary social intercourse, the family of Nanda Maharaj and the family of Vasudev were quite separate because one was Kshatriya and one was Vaishya. Both families had the same original forefather. The only difference being that Nanda Maharaj was born of a Vaishya wife, whereas Vasudeva was born of a Kshatriya wife. Later, Nanda Maharaj married a Vaishya wife, and Vasudeva married a Kshatriya wife. So although the families of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva both came from the same father, they were divided as Kshatriya and Vaishya. Now Baladeva united them, and therefore he was known as Sankarshan. And it's also very appropriate to discuss today, because we just celebrated Rathayatra 2 days ago, but you might know the story that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was interviewed on the radio about Rathayatra. And he explained that how the three deities assumed the ecstatic features they have as Jagannath, Baladeva, and Subhadra. Of course, we know the story of how Vishwakarma was sculpting the deities, and he left before the deities were finished, and therefore they had the features that they have. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave another explanation, because those features are not just an accident, because the sculptor didn't finish the work. Those features are actually eternal, and they relate to one pastime. So, you know, Lord Krishna was so attached to the residents of Vrindavan that even when he was in Dwarka, he always used to remember them. And sometimes in the middle of the night, he would call out the names of his friends in Vrindavan, even the names of his cows and calves. And sometimes he would shed tears of love and separation. So the devotees in Dwarka understood that the relationship between Krishna and the devotees in Vrindavan was very special, and the devotees in Vrindavan were very special, and they wanted to know more about Krishna and his loving affairs with his devotees in Vrindavan. They wanted to hear about his childhood pastimes in Vrindavan. So all the ladies decided that they would get together in a hall and hear about Krishna's childhood pastime in Vrindavan. But there was no one they could ask, because no one in Dwarka had been in Vrindavan except for one person, Rohini. So they all asked Mother Rohini to describe the childhood pastimes of Krishna and Balaram to them. But they didn't want to be disturbed. They wanted to post someone at the door to make sure no one disturbed them. And the only person who agreed was Subhadra. So Subhadra was outside the assembly hall guarding, but she also wanted to hear. So she put her ear to the door, and as she was hearing about the childhood pastimes of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, she melted in ecstasy, and, you know, her limbs went inside of her body, and her face assumed the features that we see in the deity of Subhadra. So then Lord Balaram came by, and he saw Subhadra's ear to the door, so he also wanted to hear. So he put his ear to the door, and he melted in ecstasy. Then his face assumed the features that we see in the deity of Baladeva on the chariot, and his limbs also went inside his body. And then Lord Krishna came And he saw the condition of Baladeva and Subhadra, and he also wanted to know what was going on inside the room. So he put his ear to the door, and he also melted in ecstasy and assumed the features of Lord Jagannath. So the features of the Lord in Vrindavan and the service of the devotees in Vrindavan to the Lord is the highest. And Rohini, by being in Vrindavan and witnessing the pastimes, is able to describe the pastimes to the residents of Dwarka. And so that, like, was another way that Lord Balaram brought the two families closer together. I mean, another important, because now I'm thinking of the time of the solar eclipse, when the Yadus from Dwarka and the cowherds from Vrindavan met at Kurukshetra. And, you know, there was like so much love between the devotees of Vrindavan and the devotees of Dwarka. Because I was also very, you know, when I first joined, I had a very rigid idea that, you know, Krishna Prem means that we love Krishna exclusively and we don't love anyone else. So when I read how, you know, the devotees met each other and how they expressed so much affection for each other, I was surprised, because I thought that their love was supposed to be exclusively devoted to Krishna. And even like you read the talks between Queen Kunti and Vasudev, they were brother and sister, there's so much love and affection between them. And you know, it took me many years before I realized that loving Krishna's devotees was part of loving Krishna, and that it's not wrong to love Krishna's devotees, that in fact it's part of loving Krishna. And our love for Krishna is not complete unless we do love his devotees. So, you know, there was like mutual appreciation of the devotees of Vrindavan and Dwarka. And the devotees of Dwarka, you know, they were not envious. They appreciated the service of Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda to raise, you know, Krishna and Balaram when they were not able to, you know. So that's cooperation. You know, the word actually, you know, cooperation, it means that together we perform the same operation. So they were just concerned with that Krishna should grow and be healthy and happy, and so they cooperated to serve Krishna. And that's what, you know, what we're supposed to, we're not supposed to be like envious or jealous or, you know, deny the service of someone else so we can do the same service. But we all do the same service together. That's cooperation. And we're grateful and thankful to the other devotees that are doing the same service, because we have the same goal and they're helping us towards the same goal. So we need Baladev's mercy so that we can cooperate. I mean, I think we're getting his mercy here because we're able to cooperate here. No fighting here.
Wonderful.
Actually, we took care of our fighting before we got here.
Okay.
So when we got here, we can be peaceful and friendly. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nityananda Balaram ki jai. Gaur Nitai Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna. Oh, we should sing something. Oh, is there gonna
be?
Ah,
Sri Sriman, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki, His Confounder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Sriman Bhagavatam Raj Granta Ki, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki, Sri Nityananda Prabhu Ki, Sri Sri Ki, Shor Ki, Shari Ki, Sri Sri Jagannath Halade Vedi Subhadra Ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki, Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki, Sri Sri Transcendental Book Distribution Ki, Nitai Ghaura Primanandi. Glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Monday morning, huh? Everybody's in neutral. Neutral or reverse, either one. Sunday night, what happens is you have to understand there's a dynamic that goes on. And there's a subtle energy called Maya that when you invite guests, materialistic people, to come into the temple, they come and they leave their reactions to their sinful activities in the atmosphere. So unless one is very strong, we become affected by that. So on Monday, the energy is really down. You really have to push yourself harder to maintain the spiritual energy, because all these sinful activities are in the atmosphere because of people coming. People who live outside commit sins, they come, they get the benefit. But it says that when they come to a holy place, they, unless the people in the holy place are strong, then they, the people in the holy place, become affected by that association. We become affected by that association. And our spiritual energy, enthusiasm, goes down. We're affected. So Monday is a day for increased enthusiasm in order to counteract that energy, really. It should be like that every day, but that's how it works. That's why many of the holy places in India now are not as powerful as they used to be, because the people in the holy places are not as strong as they used to be transcendentally. So when people come, sinful reactions, they're left in the holy place. They come, they get their purification, they get their mercy, and someone has to absorb those reactions. And that's for us. So you realize when you're here, you're preaching. And you have to stay strong. You have to have strong sadhana, and you have to have regular enthusiasm to maintain that. Otherwise, that energy affects you. Just a little note on the subtle energy, how it works. Okay, Sri Sri Shikshamrita. This is the BBT, book editing, proofing, and translating. This is to Pradyumna, 22nd January, to Ray Ram, 18th January, 1968. Bhagavad Gita is nearing completion. I heard this before I started from India. The editing has been too much delayed. Now I request you to come here for a week with a full manuscript so that I can see it personally, along with you, and finish the editorial work within a week. Even after signing the contract, if the manuscript is not submitted in its it is regrettable. If it is not inconvenient for you somehow or other, it will be better if you come here for 1 week absolutely for this purpose so that we can finish this job without further delay. If need be, it can be retyped also here. We have got two nice girl typists. I wish that the editorial department should work combinedly, but it has not been successful. You are overloaded with so many works, therefore it is being delayed. I can understand this, therefore I wish that you may come here for a week, suspending all other business, and finish this Bhagavad Gita in my presence. Next one is to Pradyumna, 22nd January, 1968. Regarding diacritical markings, you may refer to the book First Lessons in Sanskrit Grammar and Reading by Judith Typer of the East West Cultural Center, published in 1964. Each letter should be transliterated in a careful manner so that one may be able to know the Devanagari character corresponding. Devanagari type characters will not be there in this new book we are preparing. Markings are as follows. Here follows the Sanskrit alphabet and English equivalents as are found in Bhagavad Gita. End of letter. This next letter is to Hayagriva, 7th October, 1968. So far Srimad Bhagavatam is concerned, now Pradyumna and yourself immediately revive the three volumes already published. My next attempt will be to get them in one volume, as I have already suggested. And we shall now avoid the Sanskrit slokas, but simply give the transliteration, translation, and the purport. Pradyumna is there, and he will help in transliterating the verses. And translation is there, and purport is there. There's no use of giving synonyms and equivalents of Sanskrit word in English. Simply transliteration and translation, as it is now adopted by Dr. Radhakrishnan's Bhagavad Gita and purport. In this way, we want to print each canto a book. So you begin preparing immediately the present three volumes, and shall be only revised to see the spelling mistakes, or if there's any grammatical discrepancies, otherwise there's nothing to be added or subtracted. Next letter is to Hayagriva, 18th November 1968. Regarding Srimad Bhagavatam, please send me the chapters which you have already revised. I want to see it, how it is being done. I am glad that you are not omitting anything, but just making grammatical corrections and phrasing or force and clarity and adding Pradyumna's transliteration. That is very nice. Yes, henceforth, As I have already told you, that Srimad Bhagavatam will be ultimately seen by you before being printed. That will keep consistency. I quite agree with you. Pradyumna, 18th November 1968. I beg to acknowledge receipt for your letter dated November 12th, 1968, and I thank you very much for it. Now you are in good opportunity to do the transliteration work, and in cooperation with your professors and Hayagriva, make the Srimad Bhagavatam revised edition in a very nice way, that it may be accepted by in any scholarly society. In the last editions, because the transcription was not there, some of the universities in the Western countries refused to stock them. Of course, the American Congress Library Purchasing Department in India are pleased to purchase 18 copies of my Srimad Bhagavatam as soon as it is published, and they have opened order for it. Still, we want to do it as so nicely that it may not be refused by any scholarly section. So the transliteration and division should be so nicely done that will we go to your credit when they are accepted everywhere. I think by Krishna's grace, Hayagriva's attempt to revise it nicely and your attempt to fix up transliteration perfectly will make the next edition as perfect as possible. Do it very sincerely and pray to Krishna to help you, and I am sure it will come out successful. That's also for Pradyumna, the 18th of November, 1968. This is February 13th, 1969, Krishnadas. It is not surprising that it is taking a little time to begin your actual printing work. In the beginning of everything, there is always some difficulty. But when you are accustomed to the process, there will be no difficulty. If no better grammarian is available, the translations of Uttama Sloka may be published. But I think that as many friends are coming to the temple, especially some Bengali Indians, they can help you in doing this translation work. When a person is willing to help with our mission, he is also a devotee, so there's no question of him being a non-devotee. But they must translate it as it is. They must not deviate. Anyway, our motto should be to somehow or other express the objectives of Krishna consciousness to the German-speaking people. There is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that a book or poetry in which the holy name of Krishna is depicted, such language is revolutionary in the matter of purifying the material atmosphere. Even though such literature is presented in broken language or grammatical inconsistency or rhetorical irregularity, still there's those who are saintly and they will adore such literature. They hear such literature, chant it, and adore it simply because the Supreme Lord is being glorified in this literature. In other words, we are not presenting any literary masterpieces, but we have to inform people that there is a fire of Maya which is burning the vitality of all living entities, and they should guard against this indefatigable onslaught of material existence. That should be our motto. So even if you do not get any assistance from friends, get it translated by Uttama Sloka and published. You can at least publish a 5 to 10 page edition of the German Back to Godhead magazine. That is my request. This is to Pro Yuma, the 28th of September, 1968. In every page, the name of the book over the left page and the subject matter on the head of the right page must be mentioned. I'll read that again. In every page, the name of the book over the left page and the subject matter on the head of the right page must be mentioned. He's an artist. But I'm running out of... Oh, you forgot your language. I thought you were making artistic designs. This is to Pradyumna, the 13th of October, 1969. This is a long one. Regarding our books, the scholarly way should be followed. That means, as Dr. Radhakrishnan and Ban Maharaj do it, and as Dr. Singh recommends, all our books and magazines, henceforward, the whole process should be changed. Whatever is done in the past, forget. Now everything should be revised and presented in a scholarly way. That means throughout Krishna should be spelled Krishna. So Prabhupada uses the two spellings here. That means throughout Krishna, K-R-I-S-H-N-A, should be spelled K-R-S-N-A. Vishnu should be spelled Vishnu, and Chaitanya should be spelled Chaitanya, eliminating the H. I think this will clear the whole thing and there will be no more Maya impediment. I am sorry the Nectar of Devotion manuscript has not yet reached. This is another ill luck that the post office has not delivered. So whatever you have got, finish it. If the manuscript does not reach, then we will have to rewrite it again. If there is such need, I shall send you a duplicate. If it does reach, however, please inform me immediately. Your idea that our books should be read by scholars is quite appropriate. Without following the diacritical marks, according to scholars, they will think it insufficient. Yes, we want that businessmen, economists, religionists, students, etc. will all be carrying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Yes, do it. Do every word of our books meticulously and perfectly accurately transcribed to the most erudite and deep-thinking men of the world can enter into the intricacies of meaning in each verse. Your idea is nice. Please help all our literatures in this way, and Krishna will bless you. Never mind what has been done in the past. You follow these principles steadily, chant Hare Krishna, and everything will be all right. There is no question of being frustrated. Regarding the Nectar of Devotion, although it has been a little procrastinated, things should be done slow but sure. Your questions certainly are not stupid. They are very intelligent questions, and I am just pleased to discuss all these matters threadbare. I quite approve of your thinking, so do the work and Krishna will help you. Okay. Can everybody see that? Can you see it? Everybody can see it? It's clear? Okay. So, we'll stop here. So we can see again how His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, is involving himself in every detail on how to do things in Krishna consciousness. There's a way of doing things in Krishna consciousness, not just getting it done. Materialistic persons, when they work, a lot of times they just want to get the job done, because they're more interested in money than in what they do. Many. Not all, but some.
But to say this one, therefore I did this one. Which one? 52 I did. This one.
We did that yesterday.
I don't know, some devotees say I...
All right, the verse is 53 for today, but we'll chant 52 sloka, just for the sake of chanting, and to honor Hamsaduta's work here. We have to give him all credit for his effort in devotional service. There's no mistakes. Disappears the day. And so, Krishna consciousness means doing things in a way that is... I'm just using that example after you came up with the wrong sloka. I can't believe I'm speaking that. He's saying there's a certain way of doing things. Prabhupada was so meticulous and make sure everything was done just perfectly right. Anyway, I'm not Prabhupada, so I can't chastise you. Only Prabhupada can chastise. Okay, so we'll begin Srimad Bhagavatam. We're getting to the end of the chapter, which is the end of the eighth canto also. There's a few verses left. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 8, chapter 24, text 52 for chanting. Tvam sarva lokasya surit priyeswaro yatma gurur jnanam avishta siddhi tatapi loko na bhavantam andam dir janati satam ridhi badha kamaha tvam sarvalokasya suhi prayeswaro. Tvam sarvalokasya suhi prayeswaro. Yatma guru jnanam abhista siddhi. Tathapi loko namavatam adam dir. Janati satam ridipada kamaham. Tvam sarvalokasya sridhriyeswaro. yatma guru jnanam avishta siddhihi tatapi loka na bhavantam adastir janati satam vibhadam kammaha Tvam sarvalokasya hitpriyeshvaro yatma guru jnanam avishta siddhih tatapi loka na bhavantam adasti janati satam vidibhara kammaha
desires. Translation. My Lord, you are the supreme well-wishing friend of everyone, the dearmost friend, the controller, the super soul, the supreme instructor, and the giver of supreme knowledge and fulfillment of all desires. Oh, but although you are within the heart, the foolish, because of lusty desires in the heart, cannot understand you. So, text 53 is today's. Tvam tvam aham deva varam vareham prapadya isham pratibodhanaya chindyartya dipar bhagavan vachovir granti hridayan vivinu svam okaha. Translation. O Supreme Lord, for self-realization, I surrender unto you, who are worshipped by the demigods, as the supreme controller of everything. By your instructions and exposing life's purpose, kindly cut the knot from the core of my heart and let me know the destination of my life. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sometimes it is argued that people do not know who is a spiritual master, and that finding a spiritual master from whom to get enlightenment in regard to the destination of life is very difficult. To answer all these questions, King Satyavrasya shows us the way to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the real spiritual master. The Supreme Lord has given full directions in Bhagavad Gita about how to deal with everything in this material world and how to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, one should not be misled by so-called gurus who are rascals and fools. Rather, one should directly see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the guru or instructor. If it is difficult, however, to understand Bhagavad Gita without the help of the Guru, therefore the Guru appears in the Parampara system. In Bhagavad Gita 434, the Supreme Personality of Godhead recommends 434. Who knows 434? Next line. Yep, that's correct. Tadviri paripatena paripasena sevaya upadeksyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshana. So who knows the translation? Thank you. That was word for word. So, one should learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master in submission, inquiry, and service. And by that, the self-realized soul can impart knowledge. Why? Because he has seen the truth. Lord Krishna directly instructs Arjuna. Arjuna is tattva-darshi, or guru. Arjuna accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. Similarly, following in the footsteps of Sri Arjuna, who is a personal devotee of the Lord, one should accept the supremacy of Lord Krishna, as supported by Vyas, Devala, Asita, Narada, and later by the Acharyas, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarka, and Vishnu Swami, and still later by the greatest Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Where, then, is the difficulty in finding a guru? If one is sincere, he can find a guru and learn everything. One should take lessons from the guru and find out the goal of life. Maharaj Satyavrata therefore shows us the way of the Mahajan. Mahajano yena kadasampanta. One should learn how to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dasavatar, and learn from him about the spiritual world and the goal of life. Translation again. O Supreme Lord, for self-realization I surrender unto you, who are worshipped by the demigods as the supreme control of everything. By your instructions and exposing life's purpose, kindly cut the knot in the core of my heart and let me know the destination of my life. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shikurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Vadati Kam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Satyavrat Muni is praying to the Lord, Srimachya. And here we find that the Lord is personally present in the form of his incarnation as the fish. So Satyavrat Muni is getting his instructions directly from the Lord. This is not always the case. We also have the case of Arjuna, the case of Rupa Goswami, who heard directly from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In some cases, we find that